Welcome into episode 3 of Chi-Town Sports Wrap Up. I'm your host, Jack Heinrich. Thanks for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter at JackHeinrich22. Would love to interact with you guys on there. A lot of stuff, busy show to get into. We're going to get into the Bears quarterback options. Is it Carson Wentz? I mean, it's really been the story the last couple weeks around here in Chicago. Stock up, stock down. Is Zach LaVine an all-star? And Jake Arrieta is back with the Chicago Cubs in an offseason that has been kind of filled with a bunch of familiar faces heading out of town. Arrieta is back with the Cubs. We'll get into that later. But like I said, follow me on Twitter at JackHeinrich22. Would love to interact with you guys on there. This has been an offseason that we knew was going to be with some change for the Bears, especially at the quarterback position. And they've been in rumors for all these guys. They were in on Matthew Stafford, who eventually went to the LA Rams. And now they've really been in the strong talks with the Eagles, it seems like, according to reports. There's been some reports. It just doesn't even know what to believe anymore. It's just been all over the place. It seemed like Wentz was going to get dealt last week. He did not. The asking price for the Eagles has been kind of inconsistent, thinking that they'd want a couple first-round picks. There's out there maybe the Bears had put a first-round pick out there, and Tariq Cohen and maybe Nick Foles, but that was shut down with Tariq Cohen tweeting that he's not going anywhere after he just called Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. So it's kind of just, you can guess what's going on now. It's just all over the place. And then today, Ethan Sander, who's a radio host out in Philadelphia, tweeted that the Bears are out and it's just the Colts. It's really been the Bears and the Colts rumored to be in on Nick Foles, or not Nick Foles, on Carson Wentz. It seems like Nick Foles might be going back there, and I don't know if that's what Philly fans want, but he tweeted this about 3 hours ago. At this point, the Eagles are just negotiating with the Colts. It's a difference on the back end. Eagles trying to get that second two instead of a third or fourth conditional. Chicago's out, been wrong before, but feels like we are winding down in the talk. So he's a Philly guy, so he's closer to the Philadelphia Eagles situation. He says they're out, but it's been wrong before. He's really the only guy tweeting that the Bears are out. They've been favored last week in some sports books of being the favorites to land Carson Wentz. There's also reports saying that they were growing tired of waiting and getting a little impatient. They feel like they had a fair offer, and they've been not trying to drive it up or get into a bidding war. So that's good, at least, that Ryan Pace isn't getting into a bidding war with Carson Wentz. I mean, he's such, it seems like, a polarizing guy here in Chicago. Some people are okay with it. Some people are very against it. I've always kind of liked Carson Wentz. A lot of people will disagree with me on that. He has battled numerous injuries, a back fracture, concussion, kind of freak injuries, especially that concussion that he suffered in the playoffs against Seattle. It's a dirty hit from Jadeveon Clowney. He was having an MVP caliber season in 2017 before he tore his ACL, and I went back and watched those highlights from his 2017 season, and man, those were some electric highlights from Carson Wentz. You could see the talent there. A lot of scrambling and moving in the pocket. He's better on the run. So since he's had that ACL, he hasn't been as mobile, but can still do that. And there's also been reports saying that the Eagles tried to keep him and make him a pocket passer. Sound familiar? But I think he's definitely a talented guy. And I would, if they give him a first round pick, I wouldn't love it, but you do have to give up something to get something. And I think if they could try to like do what the Colts are doing, get to give up two twos, I'd be more okay with that. I mean, this is Pace and Nagy's final year. I say that with quotations because we don't really know their contract situation after that press conference. They didn't really say how long these guys were under contract, and they wouldn't talk about it when it was brought up multiple times. But Wentz is, I mean, he's really been a good quarterback till just this last year. Everybody likes to kind of rain on him just because the Eagles have had some bad seasons since that Super Bowl season and Nick Foles won the Super Bowl, but with them when he got hurt in 2017. But I mean, you look at his numbers, that 17 season in 13 games, he threw 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. The next year in 11 games, he threw 21 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. And then in 2019, he threw 27 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. This year is really the big year with the interception numbers. Since his rookie year, he had 15. He had 14 in his rookie year, and he had 16 touchdown passes. But he was dealing with an awful, awful offensive line. The Eagles have just been a team that's gotten crushed with injuries since 2017. And really one of the reasons why I like Wentz so much is because of that 2019 season where he led the Eagles to a 9-7 record that was able to win the NFC East, which has not been a good division as we've seen the last couple years. But they were 5-7 at one point. I found this SB Nation article that said how the Eagles made the playoffs with an injury-depleted roster. Wentz was able to lead them to a 4-game winning streak to end the year. They're 5-7. They go to 9-7 and make the playoffs. They were without their top three wide receivers, DeSean Jackson, Nelson Aguilar, and Alshon Jeffrey. Zach Ertz was dealing with injuries, and then they also had both their running backs that were banged up, or most of their running backs. They had offensive linemen out, and they were just dealing with so many injuries. They had 13 guys on IR, and basically it was just Carson Wentz in the backups, and he put the team on his back, and it wasn't pretty, but he led them to the playoffs. And I think that speaks more volumes to who Carson Wentz is as a player. When you're a quarterback, and this is something that we haven't been able to see in Chicago with like Mitch Trubisky, is that the Bears would never win because of Mitch. It was more, the defense was able to hold them down. The offense did just enough. It was really never of this is a guy that you're going to win because of. Carson Wentz kind of has that in his DNA, and you could see that in 2019. Last year, just bad offensive line. A weird year with COVID. It all really fell apart. There's fractured relationships with him and Doug Peterson and the whole front office. So it all kind of fell apart and came to a head. So I think he's a guy the Bears should look into. Let me know what you think, what quarterbacks you're looking at on Twitter at JackHunter22. I'd love to see what you guys are thinking. I'm okay if they go with Wentz. I mean, they need to do something to try to upgrade this position. And if this really is Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy's final year, they're going to go all in. I mean, drafting 20th, I mean, that's why I didn't want them to make the playoffs. I wanted them to see if they could get their best draft pick available. But they're not going to get one of those top quarterback guys like Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, or Trey Lance. They're not going to get a game changer at 20. They could draft a nice offensive lineman I've seen in a couple mocks, or they can maybe get a receiver. Because there's other needs on this team. I mean, the offensive line, they're going to need receivers. Especially maybe if Allen Robinson is leaving, more on that in a couple minutes. But I think they could do worse than Carson Wentz. I mean, I'd rather have Wentz over Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, I think, is a talented quarterback, but he really, really took a step back last year. Wentz is a guy that's kind of proven that he could be that guy. Now, if Matt Nagy can get something out of him, John DeFilippo worked with him in Philadelphia, you might have something there. But it remains to be seen. Maybe the Bears are out of it, but the Bears have been in on every quarterback that's been available this offseason. I mean, Russell Wilson had those things pop up that he wanted out, and the Bears are reportedly one of the first people to call. And it looks like Wilson is probably not going to be leaving, but at least the Bears are in on all these quarterbacks. They don't have enough draft capital or just assets in general to try to get Deshaun Watson. So, I mean, I'm fine with them going after Carson Wentz. I think the media has kind of spun this perception about him. And don't get me wrong, he was really, really bad. Really, really bad last year. That's why I don't really want the Bears to give up a first-round pick. But if they can throw a couple twos in there and are able to get him. I mean, Carson Wentz does have a big contract, $47.5 million guaranteed, I believe, that he's just starting this year. But you look, it's like $25 million a year. That's just what's going for a quarterback nowadays. I mean, Jared Goff's around there, and people do not like Jared Goff. So if you're going to have a starting quarterback, that's just how much it's going to have to command. Now they're going to have to move some stuff around with the salary cap, but I think they could do a lot worse than Carson Wentz. Now, there are those rumors saying that he is a bad teammate, and he hasn't gotten along with guys. And I just from seeing him in the media, he seems like a good guy and the way he's talked and stuff, but sometimes you could just put on that face. So those things are concerning a little bit, but you just don't know how true those are. They'd always come out and say Wentz doesn't do this and that, but then some people would come out and defend him. It just seems like a mess there in Philly. And I mean, the Philly media, really digs into the team and especially the fans. The fans are very passionate fans up and down. So you could see how some things maybe could be spun or led astray, but I think Carson Wentz would be a good fit with the Bears. I mean, why not? You got to take some swings here. You're not going to get a top guy in the draft. And he's still a relatively young guy, just starting a four-year contract. So maybe if he can even just play average or above average and the defense can return to form for more the first half of the season than last half, I think the Bears could be in a good spot with Wentz. And really, like I've been saying, Pace and Nagy are in their last years in their contract. So they're really trying to make a playoff push to save their jobs. And this is what they're going to have to do, get someone more established than just a rookie. That's not something they're going to try to set up for the future. They're going to try to save their jobs right now. So I'm okay with Carson Wentz. I think he would be, he's not a bad guy to target. I'm a little higher than him on most. I mean, he's a guy that you can win with. He's proven and shown in flashes, especially in 2019. Just go look at that roster he was dealing with and how he dragged them kicking and screaming to the playoffs. I really like that, but I want to hear what you guys think. Do you agree with me or not, or if there's another quarterback you want? I mean, they have other free agents out there like Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, everybody gets excited about him. Jacoby Brissett's out there. Tyrod Taylor, Dak Prescott, but he's going to command a lot of money, and I'm not very comfortable investing a ton of money in Dak Prescott, but it seems like he's really sticking with Dallas, or Dallas is going to tag him and trade him. But let me know what you guys think there. And I mean, according to Ted Phillips, the Bears are close, right? Isn't that what he said in their last press conference, that the Bears have got everything in place, right? And they just need the quarterback?
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
I just really play that because it just makes me laugh every time I hear it. But Carson Wentz could maybe be the next quarterback for the Bears, and we'll see. It just gets dragged out, and it's a very polarizing topic. I'm a fan of Carson Wentz, but let me know what you guys think. I know there's a lot of people that are against it, so it's just kind of in wait-and-see mode. I'm just anxious. I just want this trade to get done so we could just start digging into what we have going instead of the rumors. But speaking of rumors, we got another Allen Robinson rumor today. And according to Tom Parissimo of NFL Network, says the Bears and Allen Robinson haven't had contract talks since September. And he might be a tag and trade candidate. The franchise tag period runs from February 23rd to March 9th. I mean, Allen Robinson does not want to be tagged. A lot of players do not like being franchise tagged. They do get paid a lot of money, a little bit higher. I think it's the average of the top five salary at position, but they want that security. They want to get the paid big. And I mean, Allen Robinson has been a very, very, very productive wide receiver for a guy whose quarterbacks have been Blake Bortles, Mitch Trubisky, and Nick Foles. Like, this guy is getting 1,000-yard seasons, and those guys, with all their issues, and he's still been able to put up numbers. That's why I would give him a lot of money and an extension. And Allen Robinson has said he wants to stay here, especially the last couple years. And before this season, he said he wants to be in Chicago. This is a place where he wants to stay. And I think when he was saying that, with all the trouble that the Bears have had with the quarterback, with him saying, I'm like, you guys need to sign him right now, because the offensive line was bad. They had no running game. The quarterback position was a question mark. And one of the better wide receivers in the game, probably top 20, maybe top 15, is saying he wants to be here. And the Bears just can't get an extension done. It's just another thing that Pace and just everybody up top have just struggled with and whiffed on. If they have to tag him and they end up trading him, or they just flat out lose him in free agency, that's just not a good look for the team, for a player who said he wants to stay here and he liked the culture. And just the way he dropped some passes this year, and everybody really wanted to rain on him because he was very vocal about wanting to get paid a lot, and his teammates were tweeting about the Brinks truck and all that, and pay A-Rob was always trending. But I would pay Allen Robinson. If he leaves, that's going to leave a huge hole for the Bears. I like Darnell Mooney. I think he's probably a strong two receiver. I don't know if he can be a one. He's a great route runner, but you still need more than one receiver. I mean, Anthony Miller's probably on his way out. Very disappointed. I was high on him coming out of college. just didn't get it going. Who knows what Riley Ridley is? The Bears won't play him. They're going to need to draft a couple wide receivers, and they're going to be really in a lot of trouble if they can't bring Allen Robinson back. But I hope they can figure something out, because Allen Robinson is definitely one of the big time receivers in the game and a number one receiver. But according to NFL Network's Tom Parissimo, they haven't talked since September. So that's another thing the Bears have kind of screwed up. But coming up next, it is that time of week again. It is time for Stock Up and Stock Down.
Whose stock's rising? Whose stock is falling? From the last week in sports, it's time for Stock Up and Stock Down on Chi-Town Sports Wrap-Up.
And it is that time of weekend. It's time for Stock Up and Stock Down. From the last week, and actually going to go a couple weeks in sports, it's going to be a quick Stock Up, Stock Down for this week. I only have one for each, but let me know what you guys think from the last week in sports, your Stock Up or Stock Down. I'd love to hear what you guys have to think. But my Stock Up, I'm going to go back a couple weeks, about a week and a half, to the Super Bowl. Now, the Super Bowl wasn't really a close game like we were expecting, but there was an entertaining moment that was caught. As everybody saw, there was a streaker in the second half, and he actually bet on a streaker to be, there's a bet out there that if there would be a streaker or not. He bet yes, put down a lot of money, went out and did it, and then he won the bet, I guess, but I think they're exploring to see whether that's tampering or not. I'm not sure if he's going to get his money, but during that, if you weren't watching the game, listening to it, you were treated to some great commentary from the great Kevin Harlan. I just have to play you what Kevin did.
Second down, 20, 5:03 to go. Someone has run on the field. Some guy with a bra. And now he's not being chased. He's running down the middle of the 40. Arms in the air and a victory salute. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants. He's being chased to the 30. He breaks a tackle from a security guard. The 20, down the middle, the 10, the 5. He slides at the 1, and they converge on him at the goal line. Pull up your pants. Take off the bra and be a man. And the players with hands on hips at the other end of the field are looking at him and shaking their head and saying, why, oh, why is this taking place in a Super Bowl?
And Kevin, if you're going to run that far, get into the end zone. Don't slide at the 1. You got to score once you got on the field. Get into the end zone, my man.
Lord, now they're cuffing him. But pull up his drawers, whatever you do.
Great stuff, as always, from Kevin Harlan. He's had that happen to him a couple of times where he's called a streaker on the field, and that's just great. That's just great play-by-play work there from Kevin Harlan. Credit to Westwood One on the radio for the call to Super Bowl. Great stuff there. Pull up your pants and be a man. That was great stuff. It was kind of all over Twitter the next day, but good stuff there. So stock up to Kevin Harlan for nailing the call of the streaker. Now, my stock down for this week is something I came across today. And baseball starts tomorrow. Spring training pitchers and catchers report for a bunch of teams tomorrow. Can't wait for that. But since we're in that, that means we got some odds out for the awards. And on DraftKings, the NL Cy Young odds, Kyle Hendricks of the Chicago Cubs continues to get disrespected. That's my stock down, is the odds here. Is Kyle Hendricks at plus 6,600 for Cy Young. And he's behind people like John Gray, Josh Hader, who's a reliever, Noah Syndergaard, who's coming off Tommy John, and Jake Arrieta, who hasn't been even close to the Cy Young pitcher since 2015. And Kyle Hendricks has just consistently been one of the best pitchers in baseball, under the radar. And he's just got these awful Cy Young Award odds. So if you're a betting person, you got DraftKings, I would jump on that, because he could pull out a Cy Young Award win. It's not out of the question. I mean, he's close in 2017. He's just got to have a good start to the year. The problem is he always has a bad start to the season, and people kind of write him off. That's why he hasn't been to an All-Star game. But stock down to the DraftKings. Get better odds. Watch Kyle Hendricks pitch. Even though he doesn't light up the radar gun, he's still a good pitcher. But those are my stock up is Kevin Harlan, stock down Kyle Hendricks. A short, quick one today. But let me know what you guys think on Twitter at JackHeinrich22, what your stock up and stock downs of the week were. But coming up next, we're going to jump into the NBA. Is Zach LaVine an all-star? That is next.
2-for-1 down the stretch, trailing by two. Holiday guarding LaVine. Now Sabonis. LaVine, step back three for the lead.
Oh! Give it
a shot by LaVine!
Oh, stop it, Zach!
Woo!
LaVine cold-blooded last night at the end of the Bulls-Pacers game. That step back three, as you heard from NBC Sports Chicago's Adam Amin and Stacey King, I mean, those two are just electric on the Bulls games. What a great hire for getting Adam Amin to replace the great Neil Funk. But Zach LaVine again in the clutch. He did miss the go-ahead game-winning shot, but that shot put the Bulls up, and they're eventually able to get a win in overtime. He got his 11th 30-point game in the season, and people need to take notice of Zach LaVine. This guy has been getting better every season he's been with the Chicago Bulls. He's only 25, and he is putting up all-star type numbers. And this is a guy who said he wants to make the all-star team. They found a way to make the all-star game happen. Whether you agree with it or not, it's going to happen in Atlanta. Today's the last day to vote for Zach LaVine, the all-star game. So go out and vote for him tonight. But he was close in the East for starting. He was fifth in guards. He needs to jump a couple people, but he might be able to sneak in with that coach's vote. But Zach LaVine has just gotten better every season. He averaged 10 points as a rookie in Minnesota, 14 second year, and then 18 in the year he tore his ACL. He comes back off that ACL with the Bulls in 24 games. He kind of struggles. I'm not going to lie. That first year he was with the Bulls, only 16 points a game, but you saw the flashes. Next year he plays 63 games, and he averages 23.7 points a game. And then last year he really makes a jump, and he averages 25 points a game, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And then this year he's just taking his game to a whole nother level. He's always been a high 30s three-point shooter, and this year he's shooting 43% through 26 games. He's shooting 51.5% field goal percentage for a guard, 28.2 points a game, 5.5 rebounds, 5.2 assists. He's done better facilitating. He still needs to work on his turnovers at the end of games. He's averaging a career high 3.8. But when you have the ball in your hands a lot, turnovers are going to happen. He just needs to cut down on those mistakes at the end of the game. He just needs to work on that late game execution. He's a bad shot maker, which can be a flaw and a positive, because if you're a bad shot maker, you think you can make every shot, but then you take bad shots, and sometimes Zach does that at the end of the game. But he's 8th in the league in scoring. He's 18th in value over replacement players in the NBA, VORP on Basketball Reference. And some of the names he's around are guys that you would think would be in the All-Star game. Jaylen Brown's 15th, Paul George is 16th, Kyrie Irving is 17th, Zach LaVine is 18th, Domantas Sabonis is 19th, and Ben Simmons is 20th. And a lot of these guys are guys that people would think would be in the All-Star game. And then he's ahead of players like Trae Young, Kevin Durant, Chris Paul, Chris Middleton, Jason Tatum, and Zion Williamson. The NBA is such a media-controlled league that sometimes these players get overlooked. Like Zach, people know he could score, but then people are just like, oh, it's empty stats. He's a good player on a bad team. I hate when people say that. So he's a good player on a bad team. That doesn't mean he's not a good player. And Zach, maybe in the first couple of years, he had a lot of empty stats because the Bulls are just getting blown out, and they had no really chance of winning, and they didn't have a good coach. I mean, they had this guy coaching the Bulls.
If you build it, they will come.
just giving you a weird press conference tidbits every game. That was what you were looking forward to watching the Bulls, was the post game, to see what Jim Boylan would say. And that guy definitely did not deserve to be coach of the Bulls, and not for as long as he was. So Zach, I mean, he put up some good numbers. The Bulls were getting blown out, but especially this year and last year, he's the main reason why the Bulls are in a lot of the games they are, and why they've won some games. I mean, you look at that game against New Orleans, he's the reason why they won, him and Kobe. He keeps them in a lot of games. Last night, he scores 30, keeping them in the game. I mean, they've been able to, especially under Billy Donovan, some guys have been able to take a step. And the way Billy Donovan is able to use Thad Young has been fantastic for the team. Off the bench, Satoransky's been good off the bench. He's developed the bench well. I mean, this Bulls bench is really, really good. Has just been thinned out because of injuries to Wendell Carter and Lauri Markkanen. Wendell was able to come back last night, but Lowry's still out. But, I mean, you look at Sato and Young off the bench, now you're looking at some players that Zach's finally been around, and they're able to help contribute to it. And you see the Bulls are in some of these games. Like when they went out on the West Coast, they only went 1-3, but they were in it with the Lakers and the Clippers. Zach LaVine's the reason why they won that game in Portland. He's the reason why they were in those games against L.A. He's dropping 40 points in L.A. Taking his game to another level against higher competition, too, is a big key. He's not an empty stats player. He's really willing the Bulls to wins and keeping them in games. It's just the narrative sometimes they push. I mean, Bradley Beal's on a really bad Wizards team, and he kind of gets it, too. He should have been an all-star last year. He led the league in scoring at the All-Star break, and he wasn't in the All-Star game. Now, I think Bradley Beal's a better player than Zach LaVine, and then Zach LaVine always gets destroyed for his defense. That's a big critic, is his bad defense. While he's still not great, he's definitely improving. You can definitely see the effort. If you watch closely, you can see the effort from Zach LaVine on defense. I mean, there's some guys that aren't known for their defense, and people still consider them stars just because they're so elite on offense. I mean, James Harden isn't great. Steph Curry isn't great. Kyrie isn't great, but they're so elite on offense, people can let it slide. But Zach LaVine, it's like, oh, he can't play defense. Especially in Chicago, it's like, oh, he can't play defense. I don't like him. The Bulls got to trade him. Once he has a bad game or misses a shot in press time, it's like, oh, Zach's not good. It's like, stop. Why are you riding the wave? You can't keep riding the raid from game to game to game. Like, Zach LaVine, another thing about him, so everybody goes, is Zach LaVine a one on a championship team? No, I think no. I'm a big Zach LaVine guy. I don't think he is. But I think he's a strong two, a very good three. But they're like, oh, he's not a one. Trade him. Why? He's still a guy that you can build around. For me, looking at this team, I'm building around Pat Williams and Zach LaVine. Those are two guys I know can be a part of this future. I mean, Pat's stats aren't as impressive, but he's 19. He's the youngest player in the NBA. He's only going to get better, and he's shown really great flashes of being a solid guy, and he's getting great experience guarding guys like Giannis, Kawhi, even though Kawhi cooked him on Friday, LeBron. I mean, he's getting those kind of guys in matchups. So I think those two guys, I like Kobe a lot, but if they're going to need a point guard, are they going to have him come off the bench? I still got questions about him. Wendell Carter, to me, is just kind of a guy. Seems kind of like an average guy. He's solid on defense, really good on defense. I mean, they miss him when he's hurt, but I wouldn't be upset trading him. Lauri Markkanen, I mean, he was playing the best of his career, and then he gets hurt. That's another thing. He just keeps getting hurt. And when he comes back, I'm interested to see how consistent he'll be. There's just a lot of question marks, but something that's not a question mark is Zach LaVine's a guy that they can build around for the next great Bulls teams. And in my opinion, it's not a question that he should deserve to be an all-star this year. He's worked for it. I mean, if you watch his Instagrams, this guy works his butt off in the offseason. He embraces the grind, and he's gotten a lot better. And you can see this year, knowing that he doesn't have to drop 30 or 40 just to keep his team in the game, he's letting the game come to him more. That's why he's averaging 5 assists. You can see the game. He's just more in the game flow, not trying to force. He's taking better shots, and that leads to his higher field goal percentage. And 18th in VORP, value over replacement player. I think Zach LaVine should be an all-star. I would like to hear what you guys think, so let me know on Twitter, JackHunter22. Do you think Zach LaVine is an all-star? If not, I'd like to know why and who you might have above him. But coming up next here on Chi-Town Sports Wrap-Up, the Cubs have been getting rid of some familiar faces, but they welcomed back to one last week. I dig into the signing of Jake Arrieta next.
And Joe Maddon is on his way, and these Cubs fans do not want to see the bullpen in this game, but Maddon is going to make the move. Two on, two out, and Cody Bellinger coming up.
Considering what Bellinger did earlier in the game, you got to make this move. Oh.
And listen to this hand for Jake Arrieta on his way out.
That was Jake Arrieta's last start in a Cubs uniform in the 2017 NLCS against the Dodgers, Game 4, which after he signed last Friday that the news broke that he is coming back to the Cubs, that was the last time the Cubs won a playoff game. 2017 Game 4, that was, the Cubs were down 3-0. Jake pitched a great game. Javier Baez hit 2 homers. Cubs win. Next day, destroyed. And they're out of the playoffs. That was the last time the Cubs won a playoff game. 2017. Yikes. I mean, it's just, that's just kind of how it's been since the Cubs lost or won the World Series. It's just kind of been tough going in the playoffs since then. But it's kind of been a frustrating offseason for a lot of Cubs fans. This is kind of more of a feel-good story, I think, and I think he can add some value. I mean, you have to tamper your expectations, but Jake Arrieta is coming back to the Cubs in an offseason where Yu Darvish got traded, John Lester didn't get signed back, Kyle Schwarber didn't get signed back, they both go to Washington. Even if this is like a PR stunt kind of thing, it's cool to see Arrieta coming back, and he had more higher offers on the table, decided to come back to Chicago because he wanted to be here. Maybe he still got a little bit left in the tank. I mean, Cole Hamels came to Chicago playing the worst of his career. And the Cubs were able to find something. He turned into a great pitcher for them for a year and a half. So we'll see what Jake can do. I mean, he's not the same pitcher he was in 2015 through 17. In his 3 years in Philadelphia, he was 22 and 23 with a 4.36 ERA. You just have to keep in mind he's most likely not going to be that pitcher we saw in that stretch. If he is, that's great. That's a steal for the Cubs on a one-year deal. But he's going to be a guy that's going to eat some innings for them, gives them more depth. I mean, they didn't have a lot of depth there with like Shelby Miller and Tyson Miller and Alec Mills and Edward Alzolay and then Zach Davies and Kyle Hendricks. I mean, it's good to have an established veteran and a guy that's been through the battles, won a lot of big games. He can help these young guys like Tyson Miller, Corey Abbott, Edward Alzolay. So, especially in spring training, I mean, he's going to have a big league deal. Probably slot in the back end of that rotation. Might be the three to start the year, but it'll be great to see Jake Arrieta wearing number 49 back on that Cubs mound. And I mean, this is where he had the most success of his career, was in a Cubs jersey, and he's coming back. And it's good to see a lot of his wife was very excited on Twitter, tweeting about it, and it really sparked Cubs Nation. They were really kind of sad about how this offseason went, and now they get Arrieta back. I like the move. I mean, I'm setting my expectations that he's going to be like a 3-4 starter. High-end 3 is kind of on the high end. I'm not sure if he'll get that high, but he's like a 4 or 5. He's a veteran. He'll battle you through some starts. And it would be a nice thing to watch throughout the season is watching Jake Arrieta. He's such a competitor, keeps his body in such good shape, and he threw for teams, looked pretty good. And if teams were willing to offer him more than the reported 6.5 to 7 the Cubs were offering him, he might have had something there in that bullpen session he threw for teams. So the Cubs get Jake Arrieta back in an offseason where a bunch of familiar faces are leaving. They bring one back. and a guy that will be a great clubhouse guy. I think he'll fit well in because, I mean, he was one of the guys beforehand. Now, like, the interesting thing will be is who else might leave with the Cubs. I mean, today Jed Hoyer met with the media before spring training starts tomorrow, and he said that they're not talking to anybody about trades yet, and there was a rumor last week that Chris Bryant was back in trade talks with the Mets, and the Mets had engaged with the Cubs, but that is false, according to Jed. But, I mean, you can only take that with a grain of salt, I guess, because GMs don't really like to tell their whole strategy or what they're doing over a Zoom press conference. But I'm interested to see. I mean, this team is interesting. I mean, there's not much else to say. The Cardinals go out and get Nolan Arenado. Pecota still doesn't like the Cardinals. Pecota loves the Brewers, and like I've said, I don't know why. Even USA Today put out theirs, and they had the Brewers in second, the Cubs back in third, and then the Cardinals at the top of the division had the Cubs at like 82 wins in 80 losses. But I still, and maybe it's biased, I still think the Cubs and the Cardinals are the best two teams in the division. I think the Cardinals are the best team in the division and should win the division. On paper, I mean, that's all we have. I think the Cubs can compete. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, their rotation is not going to blow you away, and that's what concerns me is they got a lot of guys with similar stuff. I mean, Zach Davies was kind of compared to Kyle Hendricks, and those two might be 1-2 atop the rotation. Jake Arrieta is not throwing mid-90s anymore, throwing more low 90s. Alec Mills doesn't throw hard. Adbert has that stuff, but he's a young guy, unproven. He's got really good stuff. So a lot of unknowns there in the rotation. Ross did say Craig Kimbrell is going to be the closer. So they do have some fireballers in the bullpen. It'll be interesting to see if Burrell Caraway can be up in the majors this year. He was a guy they thought that could push last year. Just a college arm they drafted in the second round, hard throwing lefty out of the bullpen. So it'll be interesting to see with his spring training. But the offense will be interesting with Jock Peterson and Happ and Hayward, Bryant, Baez. Maybe Nico Horner if he doesn't start in AAA. They still need to get a veteran second baseman, and Jason Kipnis just left. So I'm interested to see what they do there at second. They have Rizzo and obviously Wilson Contreras behind the plate. So this is still on paper. You look at it, it's like this is a pretty good hitting team, and they're probably going to have to hit their way to some wins this year unless these guys in the rotation just find another gear. But I'm really just more excited to start watching these games, seeing these guys actually in action and seeing what they can do out there. Enough with the projections. Spring training starts tomorrow. I can't wait. We'll get into a lot of baseball upcoming here. I mean, there's a lot to be excited about on the South side too. I mean, Tim Anderson's going on show saying that they feel like they're World Series team. They feel like they're the best team in the division, and that's the mindset they need to have if they want to take down the Minnesota Twins. That's going to be a fun race to watch. I don't know why Pecota picked them third and they had the Indians above them. The Indians are like just trying to sell everybody off. They are not trying to win. The Royals have made some nice moves. The Royals might be pushing for that third spot, getting Andrew Benintendi last week. But excited to see what they do down on the South side. Should be a lot of fun baseball. And how the players will react to Tony La Russa, we'll get that look in the upcoming weeks during spring training and then the spring training games. But Jake Arrieta is back with the Cubs, and I think Cubs fans should enjoy it. Just make sure you have your expectations tampered a little bit. Don't expect the Jake Arrieta from this first stint with the Cubs. Just expect a guy, a back-end guy, that's going to eat some innings. And he might still have something left in the tank. Hopefully he does, but we'll see what happens, and we'll be following it here on Chi-Town Sports Wrap-Up. Let me know what you think of the Jake Arrieta sign on Twitter at JackHunter22, or what you think about baseball in general. What do you think about the White Sox and how they're going to look with spring training starting up tomorrow? Pitchers and catchers will meet tomorrow, and a bunch of full squad workouts starting next week for all across baseball. But that is all I got for you guys for this week on Chi-Town Sports Wrap-Up. Thanks for listening. Follow me on Twitter. Let me know what you think of the show there. Always open to suggestions. And I will see you guys in the next one.
See you later.
Fade to black moment.
Enough already.
It's over. Drive home safely.